In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So where this is, Louisa finds that peace is everything in the Divine World, Part 1, and we are on page 4, Volume 3, 1900. Jesus begins, peace, peace, do not want to disturb yourself. So here, this is the first thing. In all situations, God is calling us to be peaceful. Jesus says that he is peace, and without him, without being peaceful, Jesus cannot be there. And that's one of the things that he wants us to recognize. If you're not peaceful, I mean, think about it. You go to church, and if you're upset, if you're not peaceful, you go to Holy Mass, you listen to the Gospels, you listen to the words of consecration, you pray the prayers, you pray the Our Father, you receive Jesus in the Eucharist. And Jesus says, I really can't stay with you. Why? Because peace isn't there. A lot of people pray, and they say, my prayers aren't answered. God is not answering my prayers. Well, the first thing is you've got to be peaceful. If you're not peaceful, Jesus cannot be there. And he wants to answer your prayers. He really does. But he leaves it up to us whether or not we are peaceful. So he says, peace does not want you to disturb yourself, Jesus says. Just as the most fragrant flower perfumes the place in which it is put, so does my peace, Jesus says. Fill with God the soul who possesses it. So peace fills, the peace of God fills the soul. In today's society, we're called to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, not to be peaceful. And, you know, we hear a lot about the snowflakes in the youth that are very much afraid of everything, and yet we look at society, the whole world is afraid. You can see with this virus, everybody is terrified. Everything's shut down. There's no peace. And what does God do? I mean, really, when you look at it, Jesus said, if the church is closed, he says, I have closed the churches, not the bishops, not the priests. Jesus says, I'm tired of the sacrilegious, I'm tired of the indifferences, I'm tired of the people ignoring me. So with all the churches in Italy closing, it says a lot. It says that God is very, very upset. And now this virus and everybody is very, very sick. The Lord always gives a mercy before a warning. He gives his mercy. And I do believe that the mercy of God is this great gift of the divine will. And if we don't embrace it, then we have to go through the warning. We have to go through that chastisement. So he says, my peace is filled with God, and therefore it fills the soul, the one who possesses peace. If we are peaceful, God will fill our soul. If we are not peaceful, God cannot fill our soul. And then he escaped like a flash. And when Jesus does this, you know, when he's silent, when he disappears, he wants us to begin to think about this. He's not going to say anything more. He wants us to meditate on what he said. And are we peaceful? If we're peaceful, we're joyful. If we're joyful, then we're happy. We begin to live that life of heaven. If we are not peaceful, don't expect to be joyful. Joy is the delight in peace. Happiness is living that delight that you find from peace. And if peace isn't there, nothing else can happen. And then she says, "Ah, Lord, you know you are with this sinner." So Louisa understood. God alone is holy. God alone is good. We are all sinners. And she proclaims this to Jesus. You know that you are with this sinner. And the same thing for us. We have to recognize our sinfulness. No one possesses the glory of God. We're fallen nature. And yet God is calling us back to himself to have us be reborn in this gift continuously, be freed of this sin, which is the human will, living in the human will, the sinful life of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. God wants us to recognize that this is where we are, number one. Louisa recognizes that. We have to recognize this. How do we know where we recognize it? By going to confession. By going to confession says that you recognize that God alone is holy, that we are sinners, and that we need forgiveness. Our life every day, every evening before we go to sleep, with the examination of conscience, should be, I am really sorry, Lord, for my sins, my thoughts, my words, my deeds, everything that I did outside the divine will. But I pray this also in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. We want to make sure that we're saying to God, it's not only me, it's all of mankind. And I want to stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites. We want to stand in the breach for all mankind, to ask God to have mercy on us, to plead our guilt. You know, we are sinners. God alone is holy. And again, this is something that is so wonderful about this gift of the divine will. It's not, we don't look at us and go, I'm terrible, I'm terrible, I'm terrible. We look at us and we say, I'm terrible. God is great. I'm a sinner. God is holy. I am weak. God is strong. So our focus is on God. We are not gods. We can't do anything. Only with the grace of God can we do anything. So our life is not to say how bad we are. We have to recognize that, especially in our human will. But how great God is, so that we can spend hours with him in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We can spend hours with him reading the volumes, praying, adoring, and glorifying him, worshiping him in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And what is that doing? It's renewing the face of the earth. Everything's being repaired. Everything's being renewed. You think about it. With what's going on in the Vatican with Trani, it says very clearly that there are going to be few who will be there at the time of this transformation, few living in the divine will. The majority will give up. The majority will find excuses. We got to continue to go. As Father Sergio said, it's a new leaf. It's a new era. It's a new beginning for us. And that means that God is focusing on us. He wants an army, but we are that army now. And it's not many. It's like Gideon. It's not the 300,000, it's not the 30,000, it's not the 3,000, it's the 300 that drink like dogs. That's us. It's not the whole army of Israel fighting Goliath. It's the little one, David, destroying Goliath. It's not the great angel of heaven fighting Lucifer, the greatest angel. It's a little tiny archangel. We are the little ones. We have to understand that. And our job is to fight to the death for what? For the kingdom. So God is, he's shrinking us down, and in God's plan, he already knew this was going to happen. So he looks at us and he says, you know, will you be willing to fight Goliath? Will you be willing to fight Lucifer? Will you be willing to fight the Phoenicians? Are you willing to destroy all that's out there? And again, we're not killing anybody. But you're standing up to great evil. You're standing up to the evil one. And it's God is going to do it in us. What was David's response? You insulted my God. Now you will die. That was he loved God so much that he stood up to fight, you know, a 9-foot guy. He was probably, what, not even 5 foot tall. And he stood up to a 9-foot monster and killed him. not with a bow and arrow, not with a spear, but with a little pebble. But he took five pebbles with him. Why? Because Goliath had four brothers. He was out to destroy the whole family. That zeal is what we have to have in the divine will. And you have to stand, you have to recognize that we're nothing. We're sinners. We're little. We're insignificant. And with this, God will use us if we say to him, use me. There's, you know, that's David. Use me. That was Michael. Who is like unto God? That's like Gideon. You know, not the 300,000. It's the 300 that drink. Take those 300 that drink like dogs. They're attentive. And so God's looking at us and he's saying, you know, I'm going to get this done. It's what I have planned. They don't want. So I will use a few. That goes back to what Louisa said, or Jesus said to Louisa, there's only going to be a few. It's not because the few is worthy. It's God is great, and he's only going to use a few. So our job is to read, study, and put this into practice. So he says, and I also tell you in confidence how impertinent you are, for I must lose you. I must lose you no less, and you do not even want me to become disturbed or restless. And if I do it, you make me understand that I myself move away from you. Because with peace, I fill myself with God. While becoming disturbed, I fill myself with diabolical temptations. So again, this peacefulness, this peace, joy, and happiness, they all go together. This life of heaven is what God is calling us to. Even like he says, if I lose, it doesn't matter. No matter what you're going through, there can be no worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. You can't lose that. You can't be unpeaceful. You have to live heaven. You have to be peaceful, joyful, and peaceful, joyful, and happy in the divine will. And so it's got to be a constant fiat to God. No worry. God is in charge. No fear. God is in charge. No complaining. God is in charge. No negativity. God is in charge. And that even our human condition of imperfections that we have, God will perfect us. He says that to Louisa. I'm going to make the little children of the holy divine will my divine masterpieces. God is going to do it if we get out of the way. So we have to start with, you know, where Louisa started. You have to know, Lord, you are with this sinner. But I am confident in you. I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. True Christian hope is certain to it. I am certain that, Lord, that you're going to take care of the situation. So again, with what's happening in Trani, which was happening in the Vatican, which was happening in all of Italy now, it seems like Italy's being punished. At the same time, the Vatican says, we got to study this more. God wants the divine will to reign. And you look at what's happening. And then, the interesting thing, and think about this one, all the churches are closed. Why? So the contagion, you won't contact this or be in contact with this virus. And that, so I don't want you to die. So no masses. So what does he say yesterday? I want all the priests to visit the sick and bring them communion. It's a riot. God has his plans. Our job is to be peaceful, joyful, and happy in all situations. And we got to pray for those priests who are mostly over 60 who are going to be bringing communion to all those with the virus. It's just a riot and a way to eliminate priests. It's not only to get rid of the masses, but why would you now say to the priests, this is what I want you to do? Now, that is important for the priests to bring communion to the sick, but it's almost like a setup. It's almost like it's planned. So, again, for why, and there's probably many reasons why that's being done, But we pray it's for the sick and the dying, that they can receive the last sacrament before they die. And hopefully there'll be enough priests to give the sick sacrament of the anointing of the sick to the priests who are going to be doing this. It's you have to understand. God says, you want to do this to my church? Do you want to stop the divine will? Let me tell you what I'm going to do. It's very interesting, the time we're living in. Okay, and it says, okay, because of peace, I fill myself with God. But by becoming disturbed, you fill yourself with the diabolical. And so our job is to be peaceful in all situations, but we have to recognize the time we're living in. Jesus says no one is going to stand in the way of this divine will. This is a divine decree, sanctification, the third fiat. So our job is to pray. Our job is to pray with confidence and trust. And we have to recognize there is only going to be a few that will be doing this, living in the divine will, trying to live in the divine will, because this is part of God's plan. God knew this was coming, and so he's looking at us and he's saying, would you be willing to fight to the death so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven? Oh, my sweet Jesus, how much patience it takes you with you. Because whatever happens to me, I cannot even become upset or disturbed. But you want me to remain in perfect calm, perfect peace. So here, Louisa shows us that this is our test. Our test is to be peaceful in all situations. The test was given to the Vatican with the writings of Louisa. And they're saying at this point, no. We pray for them because it's going to be, God, their test was to say yes to this, and they can't say yes yet. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens. We have to be peaceful. We have to be calm. We can't be disturbed. We got to have patience. We got to be filled with peace, be filled with God in these difficult times, and continue to read, continue to study, continue to put these truths into practice. Volume 3, 223, 1900. Therefore, be at peace. This is what Jesus is saying. Be at peace. Let me do. That's what God loves. Let me do this. You be peaceful. Let me reign in you. That's what Jesus is saying. Let me breathe in your breathing, beat in your heart beating, walk in your walking, gaze in your gazing. This is the test that God is giving us, letting him reign in us. Let me do this. Do not want to rack your brains or trouble the peace of your heart. You don't have to try to figure out what's happening in the United States, in Italy. You don't have to try to figure out what's happening in the Vatican. Don't rack your brains. Don't trouble yourself. Don't lose peace of heart. Our Lord is in charge. Our Lord is in charge. Our Lord has great plans. Our Lord wants us to trust in him, believe in him, hope in him, have confidence in him. Especially with this great gift of the divine will. As you read every day, especially in the calendar, as you read every day, God will be teaching you more and more so that you can pray your rounds properly. So that you can pray the 24 hours of the Passion properly. That you can pray the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom properly. You have to learn how to do this. And the only way to learn how to do this is to read the 36 volumes. He says, at the appropriate time, you shall know my workings. We will understand what God is doing at the appropriate time. Our job is to be consistent. You pray, one of the things that they said in the seminary is basically you pray the breviary whether you want to or not. You pray the rosary whether you want to or not. It's not that, oh, I don't feel like it today. You pray it. This is what God is asking us with the divine will. You pray the divine will whether you want to or not every day. Because the devil doesn't want you to read a word of this. He knows God is changing you. God is transmuting you inside and out. So he's looking at us, God is looking at us and seeing if we pass that test of prayer. Reading, writing, reading, studying, and putting into practice the truths of the divine will. 5349-1900. Don't you know that not abandoning oneself to in me is wanting to usurp the rights of my divinity? So here's Jesus showing us that he's in charge. He bought us. We don't belong to ourselves. He shed every drop of his blood. We belong to him now. Don't you know that by not abandoning yourself in me is to usurp God's rights of his divinity? He wants to divinize us. This is what's said every day at Mass. He wants us to share in divinity. He wants to make of us a divine masterpiece. He wants to free us of all human in order to enter into the divine, to become a perfect human. The fallen human nature has to go. There can't be anything of the fallen human nature in us. He wants to free us of the fallen in order to bring us into the divine. So that's what God is waiting for. He says, by not abandoning yourself in me, you are giving me, God, a great affront. So then he says, therefore, abandon yourself. You know, surrender to God. Be docile to God. Be submissive to God. Calm all your interior in me. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. Your interior has to be a royal palace for God. And if there's worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, if you're not peaceful, God, peaceful, full of peace, God cannot be there. He's not going to reign in a place that's filthy, filled with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints. Those are all demons. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity are demons. And when you worry, you feed the demon with its food, worry. When you're fearful, you're feeding the demon with fear. You're keeping it alive in you. And that really has to stop. How is it going to stop? But Jesus says, be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. That was Sunday's reading. It's very, very clear what that means. We have to go back to that DNA that Adam had before the fall. Okay, now our DNA says we get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die. That's not part of God's plan. The 30% of our chromosomes are broken. That was not like that in the beginning. We have to go back. See, this is what the divine will does. It repairs us. And little by little, God is repairing us, our chromosome, if you want to say. Why? To be in Jesus' image, to be in Mary's likeness, image and likeness of the new Adam and the new Eve. This is what God is waiting for. So as you read, Jesus is speaking to us and he's repairing everything within us to the point, he says, that we will get to that point where all that we want is the divine will, which means we are being repaired completely. God is making us, of us, his divine masterpiece. And those, that one third of the broken chromosomes is going to be restored. That's what God wants. Remember, it will be like in the time of Noah. Okay, what was happening? One person didn't have the diabolical in them. Noah. All of mankind. Jesus just talked about this the other day in the calendar. If Noah was corrupted, if Noah didn't obey God, you're uncorrupted by obeying God. He says mankind would have been gone. But it was the faithfulness of Noah to not have been corrupted by the sons of God and becoming a Nephilim. So you can imagine what it was like, you know, at the time of Noah. There was only one family that was pure. Had a pure line to Adam and Eve, Noah's family. God wiped everything out. Why? To start the human race over again. And now, it's the same thing. There's one person that has a straight line, a pure line to Jesus and Mary, and that's Louisa. And if we are linked to Louisa, we will be the little children of the Holy Divine Will, who will survive the great chastisement, the third purification that's coming upon the earth. Our God has planned this, and He needs us to cooperate. He needs us to say yes to what He has planned. Therefore, abandon yourself. Calm all your interior in me. And then you will find peace. And in finding peace, you will find Jesus. And this is what He wants. He wants us to truly become the little children of the Holy Divine Will, like Louisa did. This is what He taught Louisa, and Louisa put this into practice. We're reading what Jesus taught Louisa because Jesus is saying to us, I want to give you what I gave to Louisa. But you have to embrace it like Louisa embraced it. You have to read this. You have to study this. You have to put this into practice. This has to become your life. All the other good things, holy things, saintly things, they're wonderful. But it's not divine will. What Jesus is asking of us is to focus on the divine will. That's why I'd say the Lord is very upset by the Vatican. Now, it's not just... it's individuals in the Vatican. What happened? Now, I'll just give you a glimpse of what's coming. What happened when the writings were taken in 1938? World War II began. That was the punishment. Who took the writings? People in the Vatican. You have to understand what's coming. It's not going to be pretty. That's why Jesus says the survivors will be the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Remember the four things. There will be a great chastisement, and the majority of humanity will be wiped off the face of the earth. The second is my mother is marking all her children, and no harm can come to them. Number three, the little children who are marked by the Blessed Mother, the chastisement will have little or no effect. And then the fourth one, you got to remember, the survivors of this great chastisement, where the large majority of humanity will be wiped off the face of the earth, the survivors will be the little children, the Holy Divine Will. That's Christ's promise. So our job is to continue, you know, not to be snowflakes, but to continue and to trust God, believe in God, hope in God, have confidence in God, focus on this gift more than anything else, and let them do what they want. Let them do what they want. But not to say, oh, I can't go any farther. A lot of people are going to do that. Well, since the Vatican has said this, that's going to be their excuse. I got to wait until they find this stuff. And Jesus says, though, there's nothing in it that in any way, shape, or form goes against the church's teaching. I believe that. I mean, we've read it. How many times have we read this? There's nothing in it. If you read it with the mind of Christ, there's nothing in it that is any way, shape, or form against the church. It just proves how much God loves His people, loves His church. So again, you're going to have to, buckle your chin strap and hang on, because the great things are coming. Volume 3, 6, 17, 1900, my daughter Louisa. To contain oneself in God and not to go out of the boundaries of peace is all the same. Do you see what Jesus is saying? To contain oneself in God, within, through, and for God, and not to go out of those boundaries of peace. You can't be worried, you can't be fearful, you can't be anxious, you can't be complaining, you can't be negative. You got to contain yourself in God and not go out of those boundaries of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. So if you detect a little bit of disturbance, it is a sign you make a little exit from within God. That's really funny. Last week I got a call from this lady who says, I'm living in the divine will. I said, well, it's a nice idea, but Father Bucci says that people that say they're living in the divine will are only fooling themselves. You've got to be perfect. I'm living in the divine will. I said, well. And she says, and you're saying we're not living in the divine will. I said, yeah, that's true. Because you can't be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative. And she goes, well, I'm living in the divine will. And I'm going, oh my goodness, you know. The poor Lord. You know, can you see that standing before the Son of God and saying to God, I'm living in the divine will. Holy moly. You gotta be where Louise is. I'm a sinner. There's no way I could possibly possess this, but you want me to have it. That's why I think I'm going to receive it, because you want it, Lord. Because we got to get out of the way so God does this. A little bit of disturbance is a sign that you exit from within God. A little annoyance, a little huff, a little, somebody says something, you roll your eyes. Just rolling your eyes when somebody says something says that you've left the divine will. Why? Because either you're annoyed or upset or, you know, giving a big huff. So our job is to not have any little disturbance within us. To be peaceful, joyful, and happy. You got to beat that. That's why Opus Sanctorum Angelorum is so great. You say to your angel, beat me as you would a stubborn mule. If I'm not following what God wants, use that stick and beat me. Why? Because I'm being too stubborn. I'm being too miserable. And you have to get me moving. It's this is the human inadequacies that God wants to heal. Because to contain oneself in God and not to have perfect peace is impossible. I'm living in the divine will. Well, God bless you. Let me kneel down and adore you. The only human that's living in the divine will is Louisa. Jesus lived in it as the Son of God. Mary lived in it as the Mother of God. The only human born of original sin who's living in the divine will is Louisa. And we see what she says in the third appeal. The first one who will receive it next to Louisa will be the Holy Father, he has the keys to the kingdom. He has to have this gift. She says to him, you represent the Catholic Church, therefore you represent the divine will. This kingdom is yours. The woman of original sin, who the only person living in the divine will, says this about the Pope. You, Holy Father, must receive this. Must live it. My name's not there. Your name's not there. It's the Holy Father's name. And that's what we have to understand. God wants this. God has got plans. And our plans is to enter into this third era led by the Holy Father and Louisa. And we pray it soon. We pray that it happens soon. So it says basically, to contain oneself in God and not to have perfect peace is impossible. More so, since the boundaries of peace are endless, even more, all that belongs to God is all peace. We enter into this peace, joy, and happiness of God. We enter into heaven on earth. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. This is what God has planned for us. He wants us to begin to live this. Then Jesus added, don't you know that the privations serve the soul as winter does the plants? So here, the privations of Jesus. Think about it. When was the last time you looked at Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament? Was your heart on fire? That's what the saints say. The saints say your heart should be on fire by looking at Jesus in the monstrance. And you're longing to be with Jesus again. Now, when Jesus had the privations to Louisa, he would actually appear to Louisa. She would see him as he is. And she would be, she'd say to Jesus, you are my life. And then what would happen? Jesus would disappear. And Louisa says, I'm not alive anymore. And it's not complaining. She really felt she was dead. Her life was gone. Now, when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, are we anywhere close to that? Oh, I'm living in the divine will. Are you anywhere close to that? Jesus says, the privations serve the soul as winter does the plants. So here, you know, we're getting done with winter and the buds are coming on the tree already. A spring is right around the corner, basically. And Jesus says that separation that you have with him from the time you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the monstrance, to the time that you're back in is, it's a new beginning. It's a spring. It's a new beginning. Everything begins to flower. Everything begins to grow. That's how you should feel when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Your heart should be on fire with love. And if it's not, it's because our love is so shallow. Our love isn't there. We go in and bounce off our knee. And, you know, Jesus is saying, you have to understand, when you enter into me, you, volume 1 through volume 10, you become a divine mirror of Jesus. That's what he's asking. That's just volume 1 through volume 10. To live in the divine will, volume 11 through 19, nobody's there yet. Louis says, to live in the divine will, volume 11 through volume 19, and then to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, we're just beginning to understand what that means. You know, the rounds of atonement are important. If you haven't done the rounds of atonement, you know, go to the internet and check that out. They're very, very powerful. Jesus said, until the rounds of atonement are done, I cannot give this gift to the world. Do you remember that? So who prays the rounds of atonement? You know, I cannot give this gift to the world until the rounds of atonement are prayed. Again, there's a lot that we need to do. There's a lot that we need to study. God wants us to enter into his life, this abundant life. And if we don't, he says, I'll wait centuries. And right now, it looks like that's what might happen. Unless we fight to the death for the divine will to reign. Unless we fight to the death. What does that mean? Giving up the human will. That has to die. To live in God's holy divine will. He says, once I find the souls that want this, I will give it to the world. He hasn't found anybody yet. Look at the condition of the world. So our job is, as Jesus says, to enter into this endless peace, enter into this endless abundant life. Then Jesus added, don't you know that the privations of the soul of the winter, the plants, they as they form deeper roots, the winter fortifies them and makes them become green again and bloom in May. So that's where we are between just the adorations. I mean, if you're going to adoration every day, good. But Jesus is saying, you've got to understand this is like a longing for God. The roots are growing. A desire for God. The winter is fortifying them. Why? To be reborn again when you see Jesus. Do you, when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, especially the monstrance, do you thank him and praise him and glorify him and worship him? Or are they just words? Is your heart on fire? That's what the saints say. Volume 1 through volume 10, is your heart on fire? To live in the divine will, and this is what Jesus is talking about for Louisa, is to be one with him, fused with him. God is alive. And that's what God's waiting for this to happen to each and every one of us. After this, Jesus transported me outside of myself, and after I commended various needs to Jesus. He disappeared from me, and I found myself inside myself. And with a desire to remain always inside of God, so as to stay within the boundaries of peace. So here again, this is your desire, again, you have to learn from Louisa what to do. Your desire is to remain always inside of God. Remember the two things he said. God can reign in you. You're the tabernacle where God reigns in you, like the tabernacle in each Catholic church. But to reign inside of God is what God wants. To have God reign inside of you is what Jesus says he taught the saints to do. And there were great saints where God, look at the image of St. Teresa of Avila with a sword penetrating her heart. You know, the sword of love, the mystical marriage. That's saintly. That's good. That's holy. Jesus shows us here, through Louisa, to remain inside God. God is the tabernacle, and we are that living host inside of God. So it's a new beginning for mankind. And again, this is so foreign to theologians, even in the Vatican, that they can't understand it. So we pray for them. Hopefully God gives them time. Pray for them to begin to understand this. Because God wants this yesterday. I mean, look, he really wants it, you know, before 1938, he wanted everything to happen. And when they took the writings, and God knew they were going to take the writings, that's when World War II broke out. So by them putting a pause on the cause, hang on to your hats. God is going to, I don't know if anybody saw the sun at the Vatican yesterday. But the sun had a rainbow that filled half the sky, a rainbow circling the sun, which was very quite interesting. I've seen the sun with a rainbow around it, but never like that. That was enormous. And the priest said, God gives mercy before he brings justice. And we got to pray because the evil one doesn't want any of this to happen. He doesn't want the kingdom to be established. He doesn't want Louisa to be known. And our job is to pray. Our job is to recognize what God is doing. And what God is doing, it's really a new beginning. It really is. So the 3/7/16/1900, my daughter, the best thing for you is to commend yourself to me. Okay, let's commend ourselves to God every morning and to my divine will. To Jesus and his divine will every morning when you do your prevening act. So that by commending yourself to me, since I am peace, and even if you saw me send chastisements, you would remain at peace without any disturbance. I think we end that with that one because I think that's what God is saying to us. Even if you saw me send chastisements, you will still remain peaceful. Why? Because he commends us to commend ourselves to him so that we're in him and his divine will, because chastisements are coming. We have to understand this time we're living in is glorious. It's exciting. And we have to be like David. We have to be like Michael. We have to be like Gideon and his men, because there's nobody else that wants to do this. We have to recognize that the war is going on, and the war is to conquer the human will in us, so that there is just peace, joy, and happiness within us, so that God can give us this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, Luisa Picaretta and the divine will. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to be so like Luisa that God is confident that we won't lose it, because Luisa can't lose this. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.